Take your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're in a series that I've entitled, That You May Believe. That was the theme of John's Gospel, John 20, 31. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. 2,000 years ago, there was a curious-looking preacher named John the Baptist. His attire was highly unusual. Rather than wear the common linen tunic, John wore a garment of camel's hair with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey and didn't cut his hair or his beard. He did not fit in with the priestly culture of his day. He didn't go to the capital to launch his ministry, but was out in the desert, and his message wasn't exactly seeker-sensitive or user-friendly. His first words, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Luke 3, 7 and 8. I think if a church consultant had listened to John the Baptist preach, he would have probably said, John, you need to tone it down. You're not going to win friends and influence people with that kind of preaching. Let's look and see what the Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Apostle John wrote concerning John the Baptist. Beginning in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Go to verse 15. John bare witness of him, that's of Jesus, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 19. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet. I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Amen. Now, when I think about John the Baptist, and especially when this assembly came to him and said, who are you and what are you doing out here? John denied that he was the Christ. He denied that he was Elijah. He denied that he was that prophet that Deuteronomy 18:15 talks about that would come. Well, who are you then? I'm a voice. You know, that's all I am. It's just a voice for God. I'm thankful that I can be a voice for him. But John was clear as to who he was and who he was not, and he was clear about who Jesus was. And so I want you to notice five important truths about John the Baptist. I call this message the testimony of John the Baptist as we continue in our study of the gospel. Five things about John that I think are very significant. First of all, number one, John was human, but not ordinary. John was human, but not ordinary. The PowerPoint's not up. Don't have it? All right. Well, you just have to fill in the blanks then, folks. You know how to spell human and ordinary, I trust, all right? So if this is a test, you'll be graded afterwards, all right? John was human, but not ordinary. Verse 6 says there was a man, he was human. We sometimes tend to take these Bible characters and put them in a realm they don't belong in. They're superhuman, super saints. No, they were just like us. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Although his name John was a common name, the man himself was the most uncommon of men. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 76, and I want you to see what his father, Zechariah, prophesied concerning John. In Luke chapter 1, verse 76, here's what his father said about him. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. You know, John the Baptist was no angel. He was no spark of divinity. He was just a man. He was human. Mark chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. A very, not only unusual dress, but a very unusual diet. He stood virtually apart and alone from any of those of his day. Matthew, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 3, describes John in these words, beginning in verse number 1. Matthew 3, 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle or belt about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, John the Baptist was neither a Pharisee or Sadducee, priest nor scribe. He didn't look like a prophet. He didn't talk like a priest. And he probably didn't smell like a saint. He was just a man. He was just a man. But he was a man sent from God. He was human, but not ordinary. Number two, I want you to notice that John was a lamp, but he was not the light. He was a lamp, but not the light. John 1:7 says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light, speaking of Jesus. Now these verses tell us exactly what John did and why he did it. He came as a witness with a single goal in mind, and that it was to turn people around so they could see the light of Jesus Christ. You know, John was a lamp, but he was not the light. He was the wick, but he was not the flame. He saw himself in a particular light, and that was in the shadow of the Savior's light. If you'll turn to a few chapters over to John chapter 3, notice in verse number 22, John 3:22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. So here's Jesus baptizing, all right, verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And look at verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. What a great verse. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God speaketh, giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Look at verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. This is the preaching of John the Baptist. He was a lamp. He was not the light. He was sent to bear witness to the light. Now, I'm sure in your home, as in my home, you have different kinds of lamps. We even have some oil lamps in that rare occasion if we don't have any power. We have some oil lamps in our house. We have some porcelain lamps that sit on coffee tables. We have, of course, some lamps up above, and we have some that are rather ornate, some that are kind of brass or chrome, and we even have a crystal lamp that's beautiful. But you know what's important about the lamp? The light bulb. Because what is a lamp good for if it doesn't have a bulb that works? It's not the lamp that's that important. It's the bulb that gives light to all that are in the house. And I want you to understand that John said, hey, I'm just a lamp. I'm just here to be a witness to the light. I'm not the light. He's the light. I'm just a lamp. I'm here to bear witness. And you know what? The same thing is true of you and I. You and I are to be lights in this world. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that we shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you exhibiting Christ in your life as the true light of the world? Are you letting his light shine through your life? Or are we obscuring it? Are we hiding it under our lampshade? Are we obscuring the light? Are we making it clear? We're not to obscure or to obstruct the light of Jesus, but we're to point others to Jesus Christ as a faithful witness. We're to be lamps. He's the light. We're just the lamp that witnesses to his light. Acts 1:8 says that ye shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. So John was human. He was a man sent from God. He was a man. He was human, but he wasn't ordinary. He was sent from God with a message. He was a lamp, but not the light. Here's something else I want you to notice. John was a voice, but he was not the word. John was a voice, but he was not the word. Look at verse number 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And we read those verses. And so they say, who are you? All right, if you're not Elijah, you're not Christ, you're not the prophet, who are you? Verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John was out there in the wilderness preaching and baptizing those who had repented for the forgiveness of sins. And one day this delegation of nicely dressed fellows from the religious big boys in Jerusalem arrives to check on John. Who are you? You know, that could be a bit intimidating if you weren't sure of your calling or your message. But John was very clear as to who he was and who Jesus was. It was also clear on who he was not. He was not the Messiah. He was not Elijah. You know, Malachi 4:5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the dreadful and great day of the Lord." And so they were expecting Elijah. In fact, you know, today when they celebrate, I believe it's the Passover, they have an empty seat for Elijah. They're waiting for Elijah to come. And so they thought, "John, are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." But Jesus said that that John came in the spirit and power of Elijah in Luke 1:17. And they said, "Well, are you the prophet?" "No, I'm not the prophet." That was the one promised by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15. "Well, who was John?" "John, who are you then?" "I'm a voice. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness." Now, why did he say these words? Well, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, which says this: "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." You know, in those days, there were no paved roads, just trails. And sometimes when a king would go out, they would send a road crew ahead of him who would make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight so that the king could travel. And John says, "That's all I am, folks. I'm just a voice. I'm here to prepare the way of the Lord. I'm here to straighten out the crooked places and smooth out the rough places. I'm here to make a highway so you can come to God." And beloved, that's what we're to do. We're to make it accessible for people to come to Jesus Christ. Are we doing what we can to facilitate the Lord's coming into people's hearts and lives? John was a voice, but he was not the Word. Here's the fourth thing I think that's important about John. John was useful, but not indispensable. He was useful, but not indispensable. In verse 24, "And they which were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." Look at verse 27. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." What he's saying is, I'm not even worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. You know, loosing the strap of a sandal was a menial task which was only done by the lowest of the slaves. And John was willing to stoop to the point of being in absolute servitude to his master. He said, I'm not even worthy to do that. That would be the job of a slave, and I'm even lower than that. I don't even have the right to untie his sandal. You know, it reminds me of what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. James said the same thing. James, the half-brother of our Lord, who wrote the epistle of James, James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word servant there is the word bond slave. And here's the thing about John. Listen, if there was anyone that could have bragged about their spirituality, it was John. I mean, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15 that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. What does that mean? I don't know. But I can tell you my wife would have loved to have had him in the nursery. Right? If he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, he would have been an exceptional nursery child. I'm not sure what all that means, but if anyone could have gotten a big head, it would have been John. Look at Matthew chapter 11. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 11. Here's what Jesus said about John. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you," look at this, "among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Wow. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Greater in the sense that John never got to see the cross. He was beheaded by Herod. He never got to see the propitiatory work of Jesus on the cross. You and I, looking back, have got to see that. He was the greatest of all the prophets because he was the last of the prophets. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached. But he said, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. But what a tribute to John. But John didn't get a big head. You know, it's easy to get a big head when you're in the ministry, and John didn't get a big head. And I've prayed, God, you know, I don't want to be overcome with pride. In fact, that's one of the reasons that you're not to ordain a young man into the ministry, because the Bible says, lest being overcome with pride, he fall into a snare of the devil. It's easy to get a big head in the ministry. John didn't have a big head. He was humble. He says, I don't even have the right to untie his shoes. James 4:6, the Bible says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, yea, all of you be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. You know, Pastor Seth said it so well, I think, on Wednesday night. You can be too big for God to use, but never too little. Amen? God resists the proud. You know, think about pride. The middle letter of the word pride is I. And there are a lot of times that, you know, we can have an I problem, right? That was Satan's problem, right? I will be like the Most High God. And so he was cast down. Here's the balance. In myself, I'm nothing. But in Jesus Christ, I am everything, right? Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not I can do all things, but I can do all things through Christ. And I think Paul said it well in 1 Corinthians 15:10 when he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Years ago, I met a great preacher down in Orlando, Pastor Hayes Minnick. Pastor Orlando Bible Church for many years. Had the privilege to meet him before he died. Every other word out of his mouth was, by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we're here. It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. It's only by the grace of God that we stand. God gives us his grace. John was useful, but he was not indispensable. None of us are indispensable to God. I'm just thankful that he called me to be a servant. Here's the last thing I want you to see, and I know our time is getting away from us, and that is that John was a witness, but he was not the object of worship. John was a witness, but he was not the object of worship. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The word behold, look, hey, look, look, pay attention, look over here, look. Look at the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. You know, a witness doesn't tell his own story, but he testifies to what he has seen and heard. And what did John do? He pointed out the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, in the Old Testament, we read in Exodus chapter 12, and you'll have to look these up yourself. I don't have time to read them. But Exodus 12, verses 1 through 14, the Passover lamb. It was a lamb for a house, a lamb for a family. That night, as the death angel passed over, they were to take the blood of that lamb and dip the hyssop in it and strike the doorpost and the lintels of their house. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They were to take a lamb for a house. Then we also read, pardon me, in Exodus 29, verses 38 through 41, that there were two lambs that were to be offered, one in the morning and one in the evening every day by the priests for the nation of Israel. Then in Isaiah 53, pardon me, in verse 7, the Bible speaks about our Lamb, Jesus Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We saw a lamb for a house, a lamb for a nation, but John is talking now about a lamb for the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. In Revelation 13:8, we read that He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And those who know Jesus will praise the Lamb throughout all of eternity. In Revelation 5:11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Won't that be a wonderful day when we gather to praise the Lamb? I'll tell you what. Whew. Behold the Lamb of God. And what was His verdict? What was His verdict of His witness of Jesus? Well, it's given to us there in verse number 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. If you're not saved today, look to the Lamb of God and be saved. Look to Him. You know, it's amazing that Jesus takes away the sin of the world, but the only sin you should be concerned about is your own. Do you realize that you are a sinner and you need to look to the Lamb of God to be saved? You know, I've quoted many times that great Baptist pastor, Charles Spurgeon of London. But you know how he was saved? Spurgeon was the son and the grandson of great preachers, and he had read many Christian books that presented the gospel, but none of what he read really helped. He agonized over his sin so much that he wondered if he were mentally unbalanced. When he was 15, he was walking to his father's church, but there was a snowstorm, and he couldn't make it. So he turned down a side alley to a small primitive Methodist church. Now here's the backstory. The pastor of that primitive Methodist church that day also was snowed in and couldn't get there. 15 people showed up for the service, including young Spurgeon. Who was to preach that day? The pastor wasn't there. There was an old deacon. And they said, well, you're it. So this old deacon got up in that primitive Methodist church, on that snowy day, and he rambled and he made hardly any points at all because he wasn't prepared to preach. He was a sincere but a very uneducated man, but he pulled this text from Isaiah 45:22, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. It is autobiography. Spurgeon recalled the words of the preacher, and here's what he said. This is out of his autobiography. My friends, this is simple. This is what the preacher said. It says, look. Now, looking don't take a great deal of pain. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man don't need to go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man don't need to be worth £1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child could look. And then the preacher, those were the words that he said that Spurgeon wrote down in his autobiography. And then the preacher looked at Spurgeon and said, Young man, you look very miserable. And you will always be miserable, not only in life, but in death, if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. And then he shouted to, Young man, look to the Lamb of God. Look, look, look. And Spurgeon wrote that he had been waiting to do 50 things, but that one word, look, cleared away the clouds. He looked to the Lamb of God and was saved that day. And as you know, Spurgeon went on to be one of the greatest preachers of the 19th century. In Acts 16:31, the Bible says, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Our responsibility is to look to the Lamb of God for salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. Have you done that? But beyond that, our responsibility is like John. We're here to point other people to Jesus. That's all we're here to do. We're here to point other people to Jesus. Say, look, look to the Lamb of God. Behold, yo, pay attention. Look at the Lamb of God. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. The old Methodist evangelist Sam Jones used to tell the story about the time when paddle wheel riverboats steamed on the Mississippi River. When two river boats passed on the river, the passengers would gather along the rail and they would wave to the passengers in the other boat. And one day as two paddle-wheelers were passing, a fireman who fed the boiler ran up onto the deck and pointed to the other boat. He said, "Look, look, there's Captain Douglas, the finest captain on the Mississippi." A well-dressed man looked at the grimy fireman and said, "What gives you the right to say that he's the finest captain? How would you know?" The fireman said, "Well, last year I was on the deck of his boat and a storm blew up. I fell overboard and I couldn't swim. I was crying, 'Help me, help me.' Captain Douglas jumped in the water and saved my life. And ever since he saved me, I just love to point him out." Amen. That's my story too. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now saved am I. Hallelujah. I just love to point him out. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to point him out to others. Because without him, we have no hope. Without him, we are condemned. Well, I pray if there's someone today who's never been saved, they're like that young Spurgeon at 15, trying to think of 50 things, but have never done the simple thing, and that is look. Look to the Lamb of God and be saved. That today would be the day. Lord, for all of us who are born again and know Jesus, help us to be like John, a voice, preparing the way, clearing out obstacles so that people can come to Jesus. Help us to be that lamp that lets the light shine in our life, not obscure it, not hide it, but let it give light to everybody. Help us to be that one who points out as a witness, look, look at the one who saved me. Look at the one who changed my life. And Lord, let us be humble all the time that we do it. We know that you're the vine and we're just nothing but branches. And just as a branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it stays in the vine, neither can we except we abide in you, because without you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing. Thank you today for this passage of Scripture. Help us to package it and take it home with us and to live it out each and every day of our lives. And may you receive the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.